Oh, greetings, radio friends, in the precious name of God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this is your voice of the gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, coming to you with another radio broadcast of plain and straightforward gospel preaching. Yes, and I'm here today in the fear of God alone, and I believe in being honest about the truth of God's Word. And so that's the reason I tell it like it is. No, I don't believe in a watered-down gospel like some people preach in order to please their listeners. Friends, someday I have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and I've got to give an account of my stewardship in the gospel. And I trust that I'll never be rightfully charged with being guilty of mishandling the truth of God. Now, I'm aware of the fact that most people do not like to hear the truth of God, and it's been that way from Adam on down to the present time. But friend, what you do with the truth is entirely up to you, and it's your soul that must exist in one of two places for all eternity. If you're saved and born again, then your soul will be in heaven. On the other hand, if you die without having been saved and have never been born again into the family of God through faith in His Son, then according to God's Word, not according to me, but according to the Bible, yes, you're going to spend all eternity in the torments of hell and the lake of fire. And furthermore, friends, when you drop into the flames of hell, you'll remember me telling you that you would be there. Yes, you'll remember me telling you that you would remember. So please, friend, give heed to God's Word and accept God's salvation as expressed in the finished work of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, at Calvary's cross. Let's listen to our first hymn today, and it's entitled, Wonderful Words of Life. Today for the wonderful words of life. And I've got a book in my hand that's called the Bible. And in this book, and it's God's Word, mind you, we read of the wonderful words of life for those who are dead in trespasses and in sin. And when I think of the wonderful words of life, I can't help but think of that most memorable of all verses, words uttered by the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 3 and verse 16. Here's what He says. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thine unspeakable gift. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy grace that caused Him to leave the throne above and come down to this sin-cursed earth to seek and to save those who were lost. We thank Thee for Calvary. We thank Thee for the value and the virtue of His finished work there and the shedding of His most precious blood. And now, Father, we thank Thee for extending the day of grace so that others might come to know Him whom to know is life eternal. Bless Thy word about to be read and spoken from today. Save souls, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before getting into the message today, we're going to listen to another lovely tune, perhaps the best known hymn of all time, The Old Rugged Cross. Friends, those of you who care to follow me in the scriptures, I'll be using as my three texts for today, three portions of the New Testament. The first is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now the second scripture in Romans chapter 8 and verse 38. The Apostle Paul is speaking and he says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." And now for the third and final scripture, in the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 26, beginning at verse 26. The Apostle Paul has been giving his testimony to King Agrippa, and here's what he says, beginning at verse 26. "For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things were hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Well, friends, today we've read together three portions of the Word of God, and in each of these three scriptures we have brought before us the fact of persuasion. Persuasion. And friends, with the help of God's Holy Spirit, I should like to preach the gospel of God's sovereign grace from these wonderful verses of Scripture. Now, in our first text, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11, we read these words, Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now, friends, this vital statement from the Word of God is written for the benefit of those who are children of God through faith in His Son. And it's also very interesting to note that this positive expression from the Word of God follows a verse which reminds the Christian that they are to appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of their faithfulness. Now, friend, I don't believe that it's a mere coincidence that these two verses are in succession. Oh, no. The Holy Spirit of God makes no mistakes. And here in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 10 and 11, we read first of all concerning the judgment seat of Christ, and then we read these words, Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You know, there are a lot of professing Christians today who don't like this program because, as they say, I preach too much about the wrath of God. They would rather I spend this valuable time expounding the love of God, the more abundant life, and the glories of heaven. Well, listen, friends, I make no apology for the manner in which I preach the gospel. Remember, I'm not here to please my fellow man. I'm not here to preach a diluted gospel either. I'm here before this microphone today to preach the truth of God's word without fear or favor of men. I'm here because I have a sincere desire to see the lost and hell-bound sinner brought to a saving knowledge of sins forgiven. I'm here because I feel exercised by the indwelling Spirit of God to warn the sinner to flee from the wrath to come. Yes, my friend, I'm here today with a clear conscience before my God and in view of the judgment seat of Christ. I can honestly say, like the Apostle Paul, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, I persuade men and women and boys and girls to acknowledge their sinnership in God's sight and to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. And to you so-called Christians who don't believe in preaching about the wrath of God, tell me, friend, what were you saved from anyway? If you're saved, were you not saved from hell and the lake of fire? Were you not saved from the terrible wrath to come? Yes, my friend, if you're a real child of God today, I said a real child of God, you should be praising God for a radio program like this, which preaches the truth of God's word. Friends, if there were no hell awaiting the Christ rejecter, then I wouldn't be here today. No, I'd be living a life with the philosophy of eat, drink, and be merry. But friend, I have the Bible in my hands today, and this book tells me that if I don't persuade men to trust Christ because of the terror of the Lord, then I must give an account at the judgment seat of Christ. Friends, these broadcasts consume a lot of my time, and I spend a lot of the Lord's money to buy up this very expensive radio time too. Now, I don't have to do this, friend. No, I could live just like many other Christians. I could spend my evenings at home enjoying the fellowship of my family and let the rest of the world literally go to the devil. But, friend, when I read verses like these regarding my responsibility to the sinner in view of the judgment seat of Christ, well, I must tell forth the wonderful words of life. Yes, I must tell forth the truth of God's word. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, I persuade men. Now let me say this. Whether or not professing Christians approve of my messages or not, listen, friend, it will in no way deter me from preaching the truth of God's word. Because I'm not here today speaking and seeking to get the commendation of my brethren. Oh, no. I'm here in love for the sinner, and I seek the approval and commendation of God alone. Now, friends, I'm not going to take the time today to detail for you the many times we read in the Bible about the terror of the Lord. But I'm sure that most of you know how the wrath of God was evidenced in the great flood of Noah's day when only 8 souls were saved in the ark. God's wrath was also evidenced in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah when only 3 souls escaped God's wrath and judgment. Yes, time and again, we read of the wrath of God being manifested against His creatures who rebel against His word. Neither wonder the Apostle Paul declares in our text, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Now let's take a look at our second text for today, Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. There we read these words, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Oh, I thank God today for these wonderful words. And friend, I never read these words, but what I don't think of a man who lived to be 56 years old before he got saved in the Shadyside Hospital in Pittsburgh. He was a highly religious man, a wonderful father and husband, but he had never been born again until he was saved on what proved to be his deathbed. And I can recall the day I visited him, a couple of days after he was saved. And I read these scriptures to this man, and after I read them, I looked at him. And with tears streaming down his face, this is what he said, "Please, please read them again." Friends, I had never been asked to repeat the reading of the scriptures before, and I must confess, I was really broken up and choked up with emotion as I read these verses over again to this new creature in Christ. Yes, these are wonderful words of life and assurance to everyone who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, to everyone who has admitted their sinful condition in God's sight, and who has trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ alone for their soul salvation. Well, there are a lot of people today who preach the falling away doctrine. That's the diabolical doctrine that a person can be a child of God one day, then a child of the devil the next. But I don't know how they believe this in view of what these verses say. Listen to these scriptures again. The Apostle Paul declares, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Oh, thank God for His unspeakable gift. Sinner friend, on the authority of this blessed book, the Bible, the Word of God, I want you to know that if you'll repent of your sin and truly accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, nothing, absolutely nothing, and no one shall be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, the eternal security of the believer is not dependent upon our holding out, but it's dependent upon the veracity of God's Word and the complete and eternal satisfaction of God with the finished work of His Son, Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 5, we read that the Christian is kept by the power of God. Again, Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 1 and 12, "For I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Yes, sinner friend, if you commit your soul into the safe keeping of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be sure he is able to keep you and present you faultless before the throne of his Father God. In other words, if you as an individual sinner before God will acknowledge that you can't do a thing to save your own soul, and then simply throw yourself upon the mercy of God and plead the blood of Jesus Christ as the atonement for your soul, friend, you'll be saved. You'll be born again, and you'll be as sure of heaven as though you were already walking the street of gold. You know, over in 1 John 1 and 7 we read that it's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, which cleanseth us from all sin. Another portion of God's Word which encourages the hearts of God's dear people, I believe, is found in John chapter 10, beginning at verse 27. Here's what the Lord Jesus Christ says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father and I are one. Yes, my friends, thank God, once saved, if saved, always saved. Now, I hope no one gets the false impression that a person can profess to be saved and then go out and live like a heathen. Oh, no. A child of God doesn't act like a child of the devil. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, we read, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Remember this, friends. Faith without works is dead, but the good works can only be the result of faith. In other words, before you're saved, you have no good works. Isaiah 64 and 6 says that we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses or good works are as filthy rags. But after we are saved, then good works are the evidence of true repentance and conversion. Now, in our third and final text for today, Acts chapter 26, verses 26 to 29, we read again of persuasion and lack of persuasion. Here we read of how the Apostle Paul is giving his testimony to Governor Festus and King Agrippa. And when he finished, Festus told him, much learning hath made thee mad. And Paul replied that King Agrippa knew that what he said was true. Here's what Paul said. I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for these things were not done in a corner. Then Paul turns to King Agrippa and says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? And what was King Agrippa's answer? Well, in verse 28, here's what he says, almost, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. My, what a statement to make. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Sinner friend, is that the language of your heart today? Is the Holy Spirit of God showing you your lost condition in God's sight? Has that still small voice been speaking to your heart and soul as you listen to this program today? Well, friend, if the Holy Spirit of God is persuading you of your need for Jesus Christ, then please don't put it off. No, don't let the devil rob you of eternal life. No, my friend, don't be like King Agrippa, because to be almost saved is to be completely lost. This is your opportunity right now to guarantee your being in heaven for all eternity. Yes, you're hearing the gospel today of how Jesus Christ came from heaven and died on the old rugged cross as your substitute, your sin bearer, as your Savior. And friend, if you'll simply accept Him by faith alone as your own and personal Savior, you'll be born again, this time into the family of God. But please, friend, don't put it off. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Yes, I believe there are countless souls in hell today who were almost persuaded. They were almost saved, but my friend, they gave up the salvation that was being offered to them for a little more of this world's time and pleasure. Friend, listen. Listen to this ominous warning given by God in Proverbs 29 and 1. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So friend, right now, right where you're at, humble yourself before God, repent of your sin, and simply trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we bow in Thy presence again at the close of another radio message, and we thank Thee, our God, for the honor and privilege we've had of exalting Thy Son as the only Savior of sinful men and women, boys and girls. And Lord, we believe there's someone Thou art speaking to today. They're listening in perhaps for the first time, and then again it may be for the last time. Lord, may Thy Holy Spirit through Thy Word bring both conviction and conversion to their soul. Save them before it's eternally too late, for we ask it in the name of Him whom Thou delightest to honor, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. Until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.